This podcast is generously sponsored by the Pillar Network. The Pillar Network is a community of SBC and International Baptist churches that are doctrinally aligned, missionally driven, and committed to equipping, planting, and revitalizing churches together. If you're a pastor of an established church and you're desiring to lead your congregation to plant churches, but you're not sure how to get started, Pillar could be a great resource for you. Reach out to them today at thepillarnetwork.com. Thepillarnetwork.com.
Baptist 21 is a pastor-led voice for Southern Baptists in the 21st century. The B21 podcast will discuss current issues in the SBC with Southern Baptist church leaders. To check out more resources, visit us at baptist21.com.
Welcome to the Baptist 21 podcast. We're going to have conversations about what it means to be Baptist in the 21st century. And so we're going to have some conversations today around topics like associating. And I have with me Pastor Aaron Minnikoff, Dr. Aaron Minnikoff, who's at Mount Vernon Baptist Church in Sandy Springs, Georgia. Aaron, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me, Nate.
Well, first, let's just get to know you as kind of we jump in. Give us just a brief testimony, how you came to know and love the Lord, and then how you got into ministry.
Yeah, I love talking about that. I was in high school when I went out on a date class assignment with a gal in school. And that night, as we were out, I found out she was a Christian. And I grew up in a non-Christian home. I grew up, everything I knew about Christianity, I learned from television. And I didn't know the difference between Jimmy Swaggart, famed, just immoral televangelist, and Billy Graham. Wow. I just didn't know the difference. And so I thought really poorly of all Christians. And I discovered that this gal that I was out with was a believer, and it really shocked me. And that night, I started asking her questions, and eventually I asked her, "Do you think I'm going to hell?" And she said, "Yes, Aaron, if that's what you believe," meaning, you know, I don't believe anything about Christ, "and if that's how you live your life," you know, meaning I live life, you know, my own way, he said, "Yes, I believe you're going to hell." Hmm. And the fact that, you know, she was known as the smartest girl in school, so I couldn't dismiss her. It's not like she was dumb. And I think that's when the Holy Spirit began to soften my heart. And I was a senior in high school. A few months later, after going to church several times and after thinking and praying, I came to saving faith. So that was in Oregon. About 1990. And that's how, that's how the Lord drew me to himself.
It's awesome. So then from there, kind of journey to get into ministry, and then just tell folks what you're doing now.
Yeah. So a brief stint, working for my United States Senator in DC, Marco Hatfield, now deceased. And then while I was working for him, I found at what at the time was called the Capitol Hill Metropolitan Baptist Church. And I started attending Capitol Hill the week before Mark Dever was installed as the pastor. Mm. And man, I just fell in love with that church, with the preaching, it was a tiny church at the time, but with the old ladies. And it was the first time that I saw that type of church as family, even the very first few weeks that Mark Dever was even pastoring the church. And when my senator decided not to seek, when he decided to retire, there was an opportunity for me to go on staff at Capitol Hill. And by that time I was married, took that opportunity, was on staff for a few years, thought I would be helped by a full-time theological education, moved to Southern Seminary, and loved my time there, both at the seminary and at Third Avenue Baptist Church near the University of Louisville. Was there for a number of years, and then came to Atlanta in 2008, and have been here since then.
It's awesome. Before we kind of jump into some questions around Baptist associating, I just want to do kind of five quick questions. Thank Family Feud just to get to know you. So I'll just kind of run through these. So first, favorite book that's not the Bible.
The Mayor of Casterbridge by Thomas Hardy.
Never read that. Don't know what it is.
Great, great book.
Second, favorite food?
I have no idea.
Favorite athlete of all time?
Well, I don't know. I'm from Oregon, and we had one professional sports team at the time, and that was the Portland Trailblazers. And so far, the greatest Trailblazer of all time is Clyde Drexler.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to stick with Clyde the Glide, but Damian Lillard is, he's putting on a good show.
I thought you might say Bill Walton. Favorite Christmas present you've ever received?
As a kid, I got a programmable tank that you press these buttons and you make it go 2 feet forward, 3 feet left, 4 feet forward. I don't remember what it was called, but that was a blast.
That's awesome.
That was a long time ago, man. Memory lane.
That's awesome. All right. First sermon you ever preached, what was the text?
I think it was from 1 John. But the first time I ever spoke in front of a congregation was actually a summary of Pilgrim's Progress.
Really?
So it actually wasn't a sermon text. But I think my first sermon, I think, was 1 John.
All right, let's jump in to some conversations around Baptist Associating. We've been doing a series kind of looking at Baptist distinctives, and though kind of cooperation associating is not necessarily technically a Baptist distinctive as deep in who we are, I was going to say help start, but as we talk...
Repeat that?
Baptist
Associating isn't...
But say it's not kind
deep
of...
Deep in who we
no,
are.
No, it is Baptist? Deep in who we are. I'm saying it's not necessarily one of our distinctives as far as...
Oh, Baptist 21.
I'm talking about Baptist in general. We think regenerate church membership. We think... You know, believers okay. baptism by immersion, but associating is deep into who we are. So yeah. we want to have conversations yeah. around that.
Okay.
And we were talking offline. I was going to say you planted an association. That's not true. You helped kind of revitalize an association. Talk about that and why you did that.
Well, when I came to Atlanta in 2008, my church has been part of the Atlanta Association of Southern Baptist Churches, which was actually a breakaway association from the Atlanta Baptist Association, which had over the years moved in the direction of moving away from inerrancy, embracing the LGBTQ issues. This is now probably 20 years ago. And so long before I came, a number of churches in Atlanta splintered off and formed the AASBC. When I arrived, it was a very small association, not very vibrant. And my first meeting, the DOM had resigned or was resigning, and a pastor stood up and said, "I'm going to be the new DOM." And Brian Pillsbury, the associate pastor of Mount Vernon at the time for about 20 years, stood up and said, "Wait a second," because he was very involved in the finances of the association. And all of our money was going to the DOM. And Brian was really concerned that we, in a sense, weren't really going to be able to do anything. And he wasn't sure that we should even be a part of it in the long run. And at that point, there was a motion to form a Constitution Subcommittee. And I got on that Constitution Subcommittee, and we rewrote the Constitution. And one of the things we said in that new constitution was the association may have a DOM. And the one change made by the officers of the association at the time was that the association must have a DOM. And I just tell that story to say the history of our association was very much, we have to have a full-time staff member or this thing doesn't operate. And our conviction at the time was, we're not sure that's the case. We think there's enough interest among local church pastors that if we cooperate together, we can go ahead and receive all these monies, but pour them directly into primarily planting and revitalizing. Mm-hmm. And so over the course of the next few years, that pastor who established himself effectively as the DOM, he ended up resigning. And when another pastor basically tried to do the same thing, we made a motion to defund the DOM position. And when that motion passed, our association changed entirely and effectively became a volunteer-led association. And that's when it became the Greater Atlanta Baptist Network, where the moderator really became the de facto leader of the association.
Would you rather spend your day serving in your ministry or managing your team's health plan? Let's face it, employee benefit issues can distract from your ministry agenda, but someone has to do this work. That's why your church should consider Guidestone. When you enroll your staff in a Guidestone health plan, you get more than just great benefits. You also get access to knowledgeable, quick-to-respond support team as well. Plus, their concierge service helps prevent health plan problems and finds fast answers if something does come up. See how they can serve you. Visit insurance.guidestone.org and get a quote for Guidestone health plan today. Again, insurance.guidestone.org to get a quick quote. So no DOM is a big piece, but what are some other things that would be different about the Greater Atlanta Baptist Network as opposed to most typical Baptist associations?
Well, so just to be precise, technically, we allow for the DOM and the moderator to be the same individual. So right now, Matt Dye of M28 is doing a great job. He's our DOM and he's our moderator. Another distinctive is we take in the money and we spend it on grants to worthy churches and church plants. And so, you know, 99% of our money goes that direction. And that's a lot of responsibility. And as an organization, having money can be a little bit of a headache. Mm-hmm. We work so hard to be good stewards of it, to have financial accountability, to make sure no one can independently write a check. And I know that sounds boring, but it's really important just to honor the Lord and honor the churches that are giving their money to this. The other distinctive is that our monthly pastors' fellowship, our yearly annual meeting / pastors and pastors' wives dinner, and our annual retreat are really important events that we host so that the brothers in the network over time get to know one another. So that's really, I think, what makes us sadly unique. I don't think it would be super unique if you went and looked at what associations were doing in early American and British history. But
do y'all meet monthly?
Our pastor's fellowship meets monthly with the exception of July.
What does that time typically look like?
In non-COVID times, It's a lunch. The lunch is provided by the church. So the church, they pay for the lunch. It's anywhere from 15 to 30 pastors and those in pastoral ministry on their staff. So we open it up because a lot of guys want to bring their staff so that their staff can experience the camaraderie and grow in the conversation. So we'll come together. We basically want to do three things. We want to check in with one another. We want to enjoy lunch. And we want to have a substantive theological and or practical ministry conversation. So one year, you know, we might read a book very practically, a very practical book on pastoral ministry. This year, we're actually reading a book on the doctrine of God's glory. So something that's less obviously practical. And we just alternate year by year.
That's good. That's helpful. So biblically speaking, what are the key texts that we kind of see patterns of this in the New Testament?
Well, one of the key texts is, you know, in Acts chapter 13, you have this picture of Antioch receiving. So what did Jerusalem give to the church in Antioch? Well, they gave Barnabas.
Right. Acts 11.
So thank you. Yeah, Acts 13 is when they get sent on the mission field. But Jerusalem gives Barnabas to Antioch, right? Barnabas grabs Paul. Paul and Barnabas team up. And when Jerusalem is in need, the church in Antioch gives material resources to Jerusalem. Mm. That is a hugely important text for thinking about associational work because each church gave what she had. And that's a beautiful picture of what can be going on today. Secondly, look at the end of most of Paul's letters and what do you see? But an incredible amount of relationships between not just Paul and individual Christian workers, but between the churches themselves. So you've got this pattern, which I really take to be a mandate for knowing one another as congregations. If this is what they're doing in the early church, and these weren't churches that were connected by email, and they weren't in the same city,
right.
And yet they had enough familiarity with one another that they knew when to send need. And that's exactly what we need to be doing today. And I don't think it's optional for congregations to be networking together. I don't think you have to be part of the SBC or have to be part of any particular denomination, but the fundamental work of cooperating to me is a picture of the unity that Jesus has been prayed for us. Mm. Right, when he prayed that the church, that we would be one, cooperation gives a picture of unity beyond the unity we're striving for in our individual local churches. So take Acts 11, take John 17, take just the example of the relationships you see throughout the New Testament, and you have a mandate for cooperating together.
Really good. And even some argue that Romans just in itself is kind of a book pushing for cooperation so that Paul can then be sent later on. You're obviously excited kind of about what you guys are doing. You've written for us in the past on this. What do you see as the one, maybe just ask it like this, what are some current issues you see with associating in Baptist life? And then what do you see as kind of the future of Baptist associating?
Well, as far as what are the issues, we all have limited time. And we all have limited bandwidth. And most of the oxygen is taken out of the room when our attention is focused on what's happening at the national level. So when I try to discipline myself to look at Twitter just once a day, I fail, but that is my goal. And when I get online, the attention in evangelicalism and even in Southern Baptist life is what's happening at a national scale. And it's very difficult to get beyond that. And so one issue is when all of your attention is given to the controversies at the national level, it's very difficult to pay attention and discipline yourself to spend time caring for the brother who's planting down the street, or the congregation that needs some revitalizing and just needs some encouragement across town. And that's just a huge issue because associating at the local level takes a lot of work and it's a big commitment. It's not very hard. I mean, I think the amazing thing is, as pastors, we spend all of our time organizing gatherings. Like, we're really good at it. We're experts at organizing gatherings. We have the skill sets necessary to bring people together. But it's not intuitive to apply that to other brothers in your community. We tend to be competitive. We want our own churches to grow, and it's hard not to think that the growth of my church isn't dependent upon, to some level, another church not doing as well. And, we know that's a carnal thought, but, we're fallen human beings. And so that competitive nature fights against, associating at the local level. I think there's a lot of other issues, but those are a couple that come to my mind quickly.
Thank you for listening to the Baptist 21 podcast. To learn more about us, visit us at our website, baptist21.com. Also, please be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast with others. It would really help us out. If you ever have thoughts or ideas for future interviews, please reach out to us at our email, baptist21@gmail.com. Again, thanks for listening to the podcast.